Hey everyone, welcome to the Beyond Sunday podcast, where we are working to take faith beyond Sunday mornings. I'm David Bowser, one of the hosts for this new adventure. We're glad that you're joining us, and we hope you enjoy. Thanks.
See, we all have notes today.
We do.
Because you told us to come prepared.
Do some research. I'm like, oh, crud.
Copying my, even though my notes are only three words.
I have an entire article.
Okay.
I'm just going to read it. Yeah.
Allow me to read to you from...
How much screen time is okay for babies and toddlers?
All right, well, that gets us started today. So, hi, welcome, Pastor David.
Good morning, Patrick. How are you doing?
Good. How are you doing, Katie?
Doing great.
Great. This is Patrick, and we're here with our podcast this morning. Today, we're going to talk a little bit about technology and families and how to kind of parent or work with kids with tech. So I have a question for you guys. I recently saw a study that 86% of people, the first thing they reach for in the morning is their cell phone. Where do we fall on that? Are we within that 86% of people, or are you an elitist?
Okay, so who's technically...
lying? I'm the 1%. Yeah.
So I do reach for my phone first thing in the morning, but it's to turn off the alarm. So it's not like I'm reaching for it and like... checking email or checking Facebook.
Yeah.
Sure, I'm turning off my alarm, but then I have to like go do the mom things and like make breakfast
and
stuff.
You're using your phone.
I am using my phone.
So you are within the range. You are that. Yes. The first thing you look at, you touch in the morning, is your cell phone. What about you?
So I would say every day I do not reach for my phone first thing in the morning. But the only reason that I do not is when I instead reach for the monitor because Sophia is awake and calling for something. And so I'm still reaching for a piece of technology.
Sure.
If not my phone, pretty much every morning. Yeah.
I can safely say I definitely fall within the 86%.
Yeah.
I'm reaching for my phone, turn off my alarm, sometimes check emails, look at what's going on in the world. What happened in the 10 hours since I last checked what's going on in the world?
You slept for a long time.
I know. I was like, whoa. I thought he was going to fall. That was sleep. And I was like, when? What? Huh?
Some of us don't look at our phones at nights.
Well, we'll get to that, too.
I almost always do. If my wife's listening, she can verify that. So.
I do, because then the kids are asleep, and I can actually, like, check, like, look at my phone.
Well, we are going to talk a little bit about this. All right. So, Katie, you did some research about kind of how to parent kids with technology. For transparency's sake, I am not a parent, but Pastor David and Katie are.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm here just to...
For transparency?
Oh, gosh.
Oh, man.
There it is.
No.
So Katie, what do you have for us? What are we going to look at first?
I found an article, and so basically, when should we introduce technology or screen time to our children? I guess that includes TV and not just iPads, phones, and all that. But according to the American Academy of Pediatrics, they say do not introduce any screen time until they're 18 months old, which to me even seems young, personally, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Of course, they're very, very limited amount for 18 months old. And they say that screen time can be okay for toddlers, older toddlers, and children 2 and older should get no more than an hour of screen time per day. Which I think has been pretty standard for, I don't know, I remember when my kids were little. They're 7 and 5, so they're not that old. But, I mean, when they were 2 years old, you know, 3 years ago, long time ago. I mean, that was pretty much the, you know, what I heard at the doctor's office was, you know, don't let them have the iPad or whatever for longer than an hour a day. Don't let them watch TV. I'm like, Mickey Mouse Clubhouse, here we go.
Sure. So what do you think... As they get older and into this, maybe they're out of this infancy stage, what is an appropriate amount of screen time for a kid? What would you say? If a parent here asked you that, what would you say, Katie?
I would still stick around an hour to an hour and a half, even when they're 7, 8, 9 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go in now into like how I personally allow them to use it at home. So they're at school all day long for 7.5 hours. My children are in school. Do they get screen time at school? Probably. They're on computers. They're on, you know, their smart boards in their classrooms. You know, they see all that stuff. It's done in an educational way, I hope. So when they come home from school, they get their devices because they just need to chill out for 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I know some families go outside and play, and that's great. My kids are very grumpy when they come home from school. So it's best, I think, for all of our sakes that they just go sit and they can go on their iPads and play a game if they want. I allow my children to watch YouTube videos. That's okay with me. And so they'll spend 30 minutes. But it's funny to watch, too. They are self-regulated. Like, they don't want to just sit on an iPad for an hour straight. I'll find that they are watching a video on somebody playing with a toy, and they turn around and they turn off the video, you know, 5 minutes into it, and they go find that toy, and they start playing with it, you know, on their own. So, I don't know.
So what do you do in 2, 3, 4 years maybe when Shane comes home and suddenly isn't self-regulating?
Right.
And suddenly, you know, his half hour's up and he says, no, I don't want it. I don't want to stop. I'm watching baseball. I'm watching whatever, you know. I want to keep watching these videos. I don't want to give this up.
He's playing Fortnite. That's what
he's playing Fortnite.
He is not playing Fortnite.
That's what kids these days do.
I'm like, nope. But he's asked like a million, can I play some Fortnite? Nope. Cannot. That's just a thing, my own personal thing. Yeah. Nope, you're not playing Fortnite.
Sure.
Yeah. So what do? I don't. I'm not there yet. Can I let you know in a couple years?
Yeah, we can come back.
All right. So pause this. Come back in 3 to 4 years, and we'll have some answers.
Technology part two in 3 years.
Yes.
No, I think that's a, good policy. You know, for Sophia, right? She's just turned 3, and so we have minimal screen time. I mean, throughout the week, I mean, her routine, because Amanda and I are both working full time right now, we're up and out the door in the mornings, and we get home, and it's, you know, bedtime, family playtime, and dinner time, family playtime, bath, bed.
Yep.
I mean, that's so that, I mean, during the week, there's really not even time for us to do significant screen time. The one challenge that I have with this, you know, we do not live anywhere close to our family right now. You know, all of our family's back up in the Midwest, and so we do have significant quote unquote screen time when we're having video conference calls, right? FaceTiming or Skyping with our family, and you know, that is an opportunity for our family to be connected to Sophia and for Sophia to be connected to them, because Amanda and I both grew up very close to our grandparents, and so that was not an issue for us. But so for Sophia, we want to be sure that she knows who her grandparents are, that they're not these scary figures when they come and visit, you know, once or twice a year. And so we do find that we try to count that into screen time. So like if we know, hey, we're going to have a conversation with my parents, you know, on Tuesday night or whatever, then we're aware that is a huge stimulation factor for her, and that she's young enough and exposed a little bit or little enough to it that we really still see a difference, even just in having that conversation, you know, holding the screen, talking to my parents or to Amanda's parents, you know, coming out of that, she needs decompression time too, because it's just so much sensory stimulation for her to like just take it all in. And what do we do then? Screen time is tough. Like I remember the first time that we picked her up from daycare, and I saw like they had been in the corner at daycare watching something together. They'd had an iPad. They were watching some educational thing, and you know, in all the paperwork, I knew that they were allowed to, as a class, view something for up to, I don't know, it was like 20 minutes a day or something. She was not quite 3 at this point. But the first time that I saw it, I had like this visceral reaction. Like, what is my daughter doing with this iPad? Like, I don't.
Yeah, sure.
And so that there's a piece of that for me too that I'm trying to sift through the waters, but it's just such uncharted territory for me. And I think that's where a lot of us as parents are struggling to figure it out, because it is uncharted territory. And even the American Academy of Pediatrics, right? This is uncharted territory for them too. Like I trust that they've done a lot of good studies and that they have, you know, important and valuable data to back up this this information, but we're still figuring it out, right? It's going to be 30 years when we see this generation of kids fully grown that we really know what did that do to them.
Sure.
What are we doing?
How bad did we screw them up?
Yeah, we have no idea what it's like for an adult to have an iPhone as a child, because we don't have that anymore. And I think that puts a unique, unique pressure on parents parenting in a system that they did not go through.
Right.
And also parenting in technology where their kids know more than them is really, I think, a tough place to be at, because kids are more, you know, attuned to what's going on in the tech world than their parents are. And so how do you come into that space and parent when you're behind the curve? It's kind of like, I remember as a kid going to like my grandparents' house, and they had like a VCR that was constantly flashing 12. Because they did not know how to program the VCR. Right. And so every time I went over there, they're like, can you program this for us? And, you know, at 10, I'm like, yeah, this is easy stuff.
Right.
I know how to do this just kind of intuitively.
Right.
And in a sense, I'm like, what's wrong? I was like, what's wrong with them? How come they don't know how to do these things I know how to do?
Right.
And so maybe kids, even kids themselves are feeling that. Like, how come mom does not know how to get photos from her phone to her computer? Mm-hmm. This is child's play for them. And so that's a tough place to be. And then, yeah, and this idea of, like, what is it going to look like 30 or 40 years from now when we look back on this time when we're introducing iPads and screens just kind of everywhere. I mean, it could be, similar to the way we look back on the 50s on how smoking was just everywhere.
Right.
And we're like, well, what were they thinking?
That was a terrible idea. Right. Yeah.
It made no sense then, and yet nobody cared, you know?
Right.
Like,
right.
Yeah, like... You were saying, Katie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, smoking in a hospital was like, what? Like, you know, the first episode of This Is Us, when I saw.
They're
in the hospital with the babies. Like, people are smoking. I'm like, what? You're in a... What? What are you doing?
It's totally
like,
cool.
Yeah. Or, yeah, smoking while pregnant and smoking on an airplane. It's, like, just normal.
Yeah.
And so maybe we're going to look... Our future generations will look back on us and be like, they were insane.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. But I think right now we're... Even in the midst of this kind of uncharted territory, having ground rules or understanding of what's healthy or not is important for families. It helps them kind of navigate these uncharted territories as best as possible without saying, we're going to live like the Amish with no screen time at all, or we are going to embrace this, but in a healthy and constructive way.
Yeah.
And that may be tough.
Yeah. Katie, I don't know if the article said anything or maybe something from your own personal experience with screen time. How much of that becomes alone time for your kids?
Yeah, the article, I was really like limited to how much time should they spend and what should they be doing. And so nothing really about as far as socialization when they're on technology. Yeah, I don't even know, because a lot of times my children like to play the same, like they're on Minecraft and they're in each other's worlds apparently, and so they play with each other on Minecraft, like through Minecraft they're connecting socially, like Shane blows up Shelby's house on purpose just to, you know, I mean they're siblings, so just to make her mad. But so they're still at the age, and they're still little too, you know, and I think a lot of times our teenagers, and I see, you know, preteens that are on their phone, and they might be on social apps and on in social media to where they're interacting with other people that way, but it's not the same, obviously, as face-to-face interaction and all of that. So I see.
I think that for me is where, and I don't want to judge other people's parenting because everybody has a story and I don't necessarily know it, but it's always harder for me when I see kids being given screen time as... go be alone, right? Like, do this by yourself. And yeah, they might be connecting in like a Minecraft world or something like that, but there's something really valuable, especially at that young age, in screen time. And this is something that I saw in some things that I was reading in this as well. There's something really valuable about parents using screen time as an opportunity to interact with your child.
Right.
So, you know, maybe your kid has an hour of screen time a day. That does not have to mean that it's an hour sitting in front of the TV by themselves or sitting on an iPad by themselves. How are you, as a parent, engaging them in this process? You know, saying, like Sophia had to, she had to learn how to respond to Mickey Mouse Clubhouse, and she responded by me acting like an idiot, answering all of Mickey's questions and pointing out where the hidden Mickey ears are and all that, and that happens because we have that interaction, because screen time doesn't need to mean alone time. And I think that's where we sometimes get into that, you know, we automatically assume it's bad because in our heads, even if it's subconscious, we think screen time means alone time.
And like, we're huge Mario Kart people. Like, we love Mario Kart. Like, I grew up with Mario Kart.
And understandably so,
And like, I was very competitive playing, and I was like the best. I mean, Ryan, my husband, even says, you know, like, do you know that mommy's really good at this game? You know? And so family game night sometimes turns into we're all playing each other against Mario Kart.
Yeah.
To see who wins.
Okay, so two things that I've learned now. We need to have a staff Mario Kart tournament.
Because
I challenge your title.
I know, but I would rather play it on Super Nintendo than on, because we have the Nintendo Switch, so it's a little bit different.
Yeah,
but I would totally bring in a Super Nintendo.
Yeah, we can go classic. That's fine.
That's all of our generation. I'm fine with that. And also, I just think it's worthwhile knowing that Amanda and I regulate ourselves that we are not allowed to play Mario Kart in front of Sophia because ugly sides of us come out when we play Mario Kart. It's not pretty.
The kids think it's funny though. Whenever right. I'm like, "Why are you kidding me?" And they're like, "What?"
Yeah, if we stopped at what are you kidding me? Then it'd be funny. But
well,
yeah,
we're on a podcast. So.
I'm just establishing that that's
yeah,
why
this
we
is a family podcast.
It's a family show.
You know, we want you know kids. You can listen to this with your kids in the car.
We are not on a 5 second delay. That's
so what I was thinking when you guys were saying this, I think it's easy. It's easy to turn our screens, our iPads, our phones, our televisions into kind of a virtual babysitter. Of like, yeah. I need to get stuff done, and this distracts my kids enough for me to get stuff done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that, I mean, and I understand. I can be empathetic for parents being like, I've just got so much going on, and I just need an hour to cook dinner, to clean, to do things for our family, and I need our kid. To
bathe.
Yeah, I just need my kid to not be just bothering me during that time.
Yeah.
But parents did that in the 50s, in the before technology, and they would say, go outside and play.
Yeah.
Like, go away. Go play. We'll see you when the streetlights come on. I'll call you for dinner.
Sure.
And they would come home. Mm-hmm. So, I mean,
But if you sent your kid out to play and said, I'll see you when I ring the bell for dinner, you're going to be taken by child protection services, right? And so it's this whole
shift. And yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because I still tell the kids to go outside and play in the backyard, go swing for a little bit, and then come home. I mean, come home. They're our home, but come inside. But, you know, we do need time that it's like, go do, you know, I'm not going to lie and say that I don't need that time.
No.
I do.
Absolutely.
You know?
Well, because I even have some of our teenage families will definitely talk to me about this issue of my kids are just always on their phones.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're always on their video games. Mm-hmm. Or they're always on their computers. They're just always there. So screen time is not just an issue, I think, for what you do when they're 5 or 7.
Right.
This is a lifelong issue now.
For sure.
How do you manage this when they're 17? How do you manage screen time? And so when I try to think of this, of like when teenagers, as they get older and they're just kind of more and more into the screen time is, what are they getting from their screens that they're not getting from their actual, are their more consistent life or what's going on in their day-to-day life?
Right.
So why are they turning to a screen to get something? Like, and if you're going to just take away screen time, you're kind of creating a vacuum inside themselves, and that has to be filled with something else.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't just be like, my kid is using screen time for entertainment, and I just take that away. I'd be like, now they're not going to know how to do entertainment.
Right.
Or if they're doing it for validation,
mm-hmm.
and you don't replace that validation with anything, then you're kind of doing them in some ways a disservice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're getting a weak version of something good, but they're longing for something good through screen time.
Right.
And so it's not enough just to take that away. You have to add something to it.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think about that? This idea of like adding things to it, not just taking things away.
Oh, I think that's absolutely true. I agree that technology can fill a void. I mean, anything can fill a void for you.
Sure.
It doesn't matter what it is. But how are we as parents helping to fill that?
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think that starts too at an early age.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, how are you starting that when they're 5 and 7 and then continuing that? Is it we take your board, so you're on your phone. I'm going to take that away, but let's replace it with a family game night.
Mm-hmm.
Or let's go out to dinner. Or let's go play football in the front yard.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But you do. You can't expect your kids to just, I'm going to take this away, and now you go fend for yourself. And
sure.
find something else to do.
Sure.
You know? Yeah. Unless it's been fostered since the time they were 3.
Yeah. I think there are 2 things that I'm kind of thinking about this. One, you know, Katie and I have pretty young kids at this point, and we are benefiting from the experience of parents who have come before us, who have been dealing with this for a little while. And so parents right now who have high schoolers and teenagers, they're like the first generation of parents who are really having to deal with this. And so, you know, hats off to you for having to struggle through this and figuring it out as a family, because you probably didn't know that you needed to start these practices when they were
3 or 5,
right. Because why would you?
Sure,
and now all of a sudden you may feel like you're behind the 8 ball. We might look at you and think, wow, what's going on there? But you're doing the best you can in that situation. And we're getting to reap the benefits from
we're learning from you.
Yeah, exactly. but the second piece of that, I don't know. there were two things, but yeah. That was the first thing. Mostly that we're getting to, you know, comment mm-hmm. on this, seeing this coming from another angle as mm-hmm. kind of the next generation of people mm-hmm. coming up here.
Yeah, so I definitely think when it looks at that, I think to, you know, it's not enough just to monitor the screen time.
Right.
But that, it's not enough to use our iPads or iPhones or our televisions as an excuse to kind of be, to make parenting sometimes easier. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it makes it a lot mm-hmm. harder, and taking away those things will make your job as a parent harder.
Yes.
But I do think it's better for your kids. Like, it will make it better for those things. And I think we see that even within our own youth program, by limiting and restricting kids' access to technology sometimes does make mm-hmm. interaction harder. Mm-hmm. Like, we just went to Fiesta, Texas, which is a theme park in San Antonio, with our high school kids, and trying to get kids to not turn to their phones when they're waiting in line is hard. Mm-hmm. And that means I have to constantly be asking questions or talking or finding things for them to connect with sometimes one another about, because mm-hmm. it's not necessarily as intuitive for those for kids. And that's hard.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I don't really necessarily like sometimes doing those things, but I think that's an important piece of, I want my kid to get off their iPad, so I have to give them something else to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and not just...
I think that's a valuable point. You know, technology, by and large, exists and is developed in order to make life easier, mm-hmm. right? I mean, that we have a washing machine so you don't have to hand wash your clothes. Sure. Somebody decided this would be easier, right? And so we're going to do it this way. We're going to have a computer do this incredibly complicated calculation because mm-hmm. it would take us 100 years to figure this thing out. Yeah. You know, it makes life easier. And so the lesson for us as parents is that easier does not automatically mean better.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And technology can make parenting easier. Mm-hmm. Here's the screen. Here's this, you know, phone. Go entertain yourself. Mm-hmm. I can, you know, get an hour of something done. But it doesn't mean that that's better.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? The washing machine is better, right? but adding technology to parenting doesn't automatically right. mean better.
Yeah.
And not to say that all technology is bad.
Absolutely.
I mean,
not.
I think yeah. there are great educational apps. I think there are great... I mean, there's a lot that's really, really good
mm-hmm. yeah.
about technology.
Well, yeah, that gets me into something that I was kind of have been thinking about. You know, we talk about technology, and often we talk about it with a slant right off the bat of it's automatically good or bad.
Right.
Sure.
And so if you imagine it, it's like this scale where you have a natural inclination when you come in, and you either lean to technology is naturally good and useful, or we say technology is naturally bad and harmful. And all of us kind of fall on this scale. I don't know where you all might fall on that. I tend towards the technology is naturally good.
Mm-hmm.
And in part, I do that because I'm a child of a technology era, right?
Sure.
I mean, I do not remember a time when my house did not have a computer in it.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. You know, I had older brother and sister. And so from the time that I remember, we had a computer. Mm-hmm. Now, I remember being a much older computer with a floppy disk and all that,
yep.
right? But I've always had a computer around. I had my first cell phone in high school, but my parents had a cell phone since I was in elementary school, and so I remember mm-hmm. that being a part of our car. You know, always had to be plugged into the charger because mm-hmm. the battery lasted for like 30 seconds if it wasn't plugged in, mm-hmm. and that whole routine. And so for me, I lean towards this side of technology is a good thing,
mm-hmm.
because on its own, technology is like money. It's neither good nor bad, but it can be used for good and bad, mm-hmm. right? We can see the ways in which technology is destructive and mm-hmm. harmful, but we can also see all these ways in which technology is really,
right.
really beneficial to us. And so I tend to lean towards this technology is naturally mm-hmm. good. And I think that we have to take a level of responsibility about teaching our kids how to use technology. None of us would say, here, I'm not going to let you use money, because
sure.
I think that money can eventually lead someone to buy drugs. And so I'm not going to let you use money,
mm-hmm.
right? None of us would ever say right. that. We're going to teach our child how to use and manage money mm-hmm. responsibly. This is what you should spend it on. And we need to do the same thing with technology. But I think this gets back to your earlier point, Patrick. We're at some points ill-equipped to do it because our kid already knows so much more about
yeah.
technology.
Right.
We know more about money than our kids do.
Yeah.
Right. There's mm-hmm. there's no doubt that even when my kid is in high school and thinks they know things about money,
mm-hmm.
I know more about money than
right.
you do, because mm-hmm. I've been earning this for a long time, saving this for a long time. But technology, man, I wouldn't be surprised if in 3 years Sophia knows more than I do.
Right.
I'm already you know, 32, and I'm already feeling the pangs of, man, it's just too hard to keep up with technology, right?
Sure.
And,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So that's what I've been wrestling with, is this idea of, like, we have to do a better job of equipping our kids to use technology for good.
Yeah. Yeah, every time I enter, like, a technological space with our teenagers here at Lord of Life, like, I feel like I'm the oldest person in the world.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Like I'm this person, this grandpa who's coming in being like, kids these days, and I don't get anything.
Right.
I don't understand what they're doing. You know, that they're, when they tell me they don't even text one another, it's all through Snapchat or apps. Like, I don't even understand.
Right.
Like,
right.
It's not even like, okay, you obviously know more than me. It's like, you're on speaking different languages than me.
Mm-hmm.
And so coming into that space is so difficult of like, I'm already behind the curve. So how do you think parents get ahead of the curve? What are some things that they can do to catch up?
Research.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Really, like, know what apps are out there. Know what apps your kids are on.
Yeah.
Download them. Try to figure it out. Mm-hmm. I mean, read an article about it. I don't know.
Yeah. I think, especially as the kids get older, how do we engage the kids in the process? So, maybe it's a matter of, let's say our middle schooler wants to get a Snapchat and we know nothing about Snapchat, right?
Sure.
So we say, all right, here's what we're going to do. You're going to show me how to download Snapchat on my phone, and you and I are going to use it together, and you're going to show me how this works, and we're going to think about pros and cons of this app mm-hmm. together, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going to say to my child, well, what does it mean that I send a picture that could be saved by someone else on the other end, right? That I take a picture and suddenly someone else has access to that picture. Even if Snapchat says it's deleted or whatever, right? That picture's still out there.
Mm-hmm.
And, talk to your child about, well, why do you think that's a good thing? Mm-hmm. Why is that better for you than this? Mm-hmm. What, like you were saying, Patrick, what void is this filling for you? And they might not describe it as filling a void, but what are you getting out mm-hmm. of this? And I think as our kids are old enough to have that conversation, we don't necessarily need to be ahead of the curve, but we need to be along their side mm-hmm. so that they can say at any point, look, I know way more about how to use Snapchat than my dad does. But my dad is clearly involved and engaged in my process of using Snapchat.
Sure.
And he might not get it. He might not want to do it. But he knows, he understands what I want to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
And he's helped me think through what appropriate boundaries and actions are for mm-hmm. that process.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that those things are obviously going to help out because ultimately, your goal, is to raise adults. You're raising kids that will leave the house,
mm-hmm.
that will have to monitor their own screen time, have to monitor their own social media,
yeah.
have to monitor
right.
all these things. So having maybe not just easy, hard and fast rules, but going into those rules, going
mm-hmm.
into that space with kids. And that is tough.
Mm-hmm.
that puts you sometimes as the parent, you have to be the learner
mm-hmm.
from your child, which
right.
is kind of a tough space to be. But I think that ultimately helps kids see what's going on differently
mm-hmm.
and helps them get a better understanding before they move on.
Yeah. And talk to other parents, right? I mean, we're not supposed to be doing parenting on our own.
Sure.
It takes a village to raise a child,
mm-hmm.
right? It's still true. It's just that our villages look a whole lot different than they
yeah.
used to. So we don't need to do this as like just me and my spouse or, as a single parent, just me,
yeah.
right? This is a conversation that we have with other parents, with professionals, psychologists, teachers, doctors, people who are trained in this sort of thing. A lot of schools now are hosting parent events to train parents on how
mm-hmm.
to helpfully engage your kids in the social media thing. Be a part of that process.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be afraid of it and don't think that, don't assume that you all have it figured out either. There's always going to be something new to learn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think also when it comes to that screen time, how to best manage in our kids is also to model it.
Mm-hmm.
Like you can't be like, my kid is always on my phone and yet at red lights, I'm checking Facebook in front of them.
Yeah.
Right. That's, you're not really modeling. This is how you operate with your phone.
Mm-hmm.
Like you have to have those kind of boundaries for yourself first
mm-hmm.
before you expect your 12-year-old to follow those boundaries.
Yeah.
Right.
So as I was reading about this, I found a whole bunch of different lists of how do you help your child use technology appropriately, and being a role model is on every single one
mm-hmm.
of these lists.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I wanted us to do real quick, I don't know how we're doing, but we're just going to roll with this for a
sure.
minute. I've got three different categories, and I want us to see how we're doing as role models for our children, for our youth, just
uh-huh.
how we're doing, and how we, and whether we're not role modeling it for someone else, how we're doing for ourselves. So number one, advice for your child, don't let them use it as an emotional pacifier. Don't allow them to use technology to cut themselves off from whatever emotions they are feeling.
Mm-hmm.
How do y'all feel like you're doing with that?
I think I'm doing fine with that.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not like Shelby has a meltdown. I'm like, here's your iPad. Take it to your room.
No.
What are you talking about?
Turn around. How do you use it as an emotional pacifier? How does Shelby see you cut yourself off from emotion by using technology? See what I mean? So that's the role model aspect of it.
Yeah.
And that's one that I struggle on. Like, you know, if you want to know if Amanda and I have had a fight, like if Sophia's in bed, if we've had a fight, we're both on our phones and disconnected. Mm-hmm. You know, we're both just in other worlds because we don't want to face, you know, we'll come back and we'll figure it out and we'll come back to that. But, you know, that's when you know, like, oof, so you can cut this with a knife because it's not good. Right.
True.
And so, and even like I've had a stressful day, right? And I come home, I'm like, I just want to play my, I've got a little racing driving game on my phone. Just want to play my racing game.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I want to do. I don't want to think about work. I don't want to think about the family that I was sitting with in the hospital.
Yep.
I don't want to think about the sermon that isn't writing itself. Mm-hmm. I just cut myself off from all
that. Oh, yeah. No, I totally use mine.
Yeah.
For that.
There we go. Yeah, me too.
I want to play on my word crossy game.
Yeah. Word crossy game.
That's what I play.
Absolutely. I think we're all... You know, probably most of us are guilty of this, you know, when we look at our kids. You know, we're definitely coming into the space of, like, I'm using my phone to fill the voids in my life, too.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, that's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully as an adult, you're able to recognize that
right.
a little bit easier. And sometimes you also need to take a step away from your phone to recognize that.
Right.
You know, that I'm overwhelmed, and so I'm going to that space because it's easy.
Yeah. All right. So number two.
All right. So we're 0 for 1 so far.
Number two, protect bedtime. Mm-hmm. So like for your kids, right? You don't let them have the screen in the bed. You charge their device outside of their bedroom so they're not tempted to use it first thing in the morning or right before bed. How are we doing at protecting our bedtime from screen time?
Strike two over here.
Yeah.
I will say that more times than not, I plug my phone in on the charger on the nightstand, set my alarm, and I'm in bed. Like I will, and to sleep.
Bravo.
Like more times, yes, there's an occasional I can't fall asleep. I'm usually tired by the time I get to bed, so that's sleep is not a problem for me. I just immediately go there.
Yeah.
But I will say, like, if there is a night that it's like I'm not quite ready to fall asleep, I would sit on my phone and play my word crossy game.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, but more times than not, I'm in bed to go to sleep.
Yep.
Yeah. There are 100% of times I'm like, man, I'm exhausted, and I know what time I have to wake up, and I'm staring at my phone.
Yep.
Mm.
Or
yep.
television.
Yep.
You know, so
you know, see, I want everything
too.
Off.
TV's in the bedroom?
Yes, we do, but when I'm home, nope, it's off. Because I can't sleep with light or sound.
Yeah. So Amanda and I had always just been a one TV house, not for any good reason other than it was just the two of us. Why on earth would we need more than one TV?
And if you don't agree on what you're watching, happens all the time in the Phillips household.
All right. hadn't happened yet. So we had our one TV. So we moved into our house here, and the owners before left a TV mounted to the bedroom wall.
Oh.
And so now suddenly we have a TV in our bedroom, and it's like, oh, well, we could just watch one more episode of the Great British Breaking Show, or we can watch one more episode of, you know, Jeopardy is a new thing I'm going back and watching on Hulu because I'm a nerd, but you know, whatever.
Sure.
You know, I can stay up for 20 more minutes.
Yeah. It's 20 minutes really good.
Right, so definitely not protecting bedtime on that one. So, all right, so we're 0 for 2 on being a role model to our
kids. Well,
Katie gets a half credit.
I get half credit.
All right. Last, but certainly not least, always learn more. We've talked about this a little bit, but how do we feel like we're doing at always learning more? You know, we want our kids are trying to set this model for them of, hey, you got to learn what you're doing. You got to be aware of that. How are we doing at learning more about technology and being a role model of that curve of learning?
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously this one's hard because all of us would like to think the answer is yes. And probably we're even unaware if the answer is no.
Right.
But when we look at Facebook and we think of the people who are spreading fake news, and this isn't just like, hey, I disagree with that news, it's fake news, but like obvious lies.
Right.
Those are adults. Those are not 8-year-olds who are sharing this fake news. These are definitely people who should know better.
Yeah.
And yet don't.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, like that, you know, that it's funny, like when they were parenting kids, sometimes we're saying like, you can't believe everything you see. But for them, they do believe everything they see, you know, on social media, you know. And so that creates, I think, this gap of like, and maybe we can get into that at a later day, like how quickly it is to latch onto something, even if it's not true.
Sure. Yeah. But, that's a whole other thing.
Yeah. But, this idea of like that usually we have blind spots if we're learning more, and so we usually don't know. You don't know what you don't know,
right?
So how are you doing, Katie?
I'm not so good on the technology thing. Like, I don't learn a lot. Unless somebody comes to me and it's like something that I think would be useful, and then I'm like, okay, well then teach me about that. Mm-hmm. But I'm not like seeking out information yet, and maybe that's because my kids are little and I kind of already know where they're at. Maybe when they do reach a point where, like, mm-hmm. I mean, I had our summer intern create our Instagram account for children's ministry here at Lord of Life, and I mean, I had to learn how to use that, even though I've only posted like 3 or 4 times since July.
Yeah.
But still, you know, working, I mean, we're getting there.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah, this is one that I struggle with too, and you know. The thing for me that's so weird about this is that I love this stuff. Like, I love technology. I love the newest gadget. You know, I don't have a whole lot of vices as far as my money is concerned, but, like, a new phone is definitely on the list, or the newest Apple product, you know, is definitely there. Mm-hmm. And so I love this stuff, and yet I feel like I can't keep up anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, the minute that I think, oh, I finally got a handle on it, it's changed.
Yeah.
And it's just exhausting. Mm-hmm. So I struggle with this one too. Just being a model of learning, it's tough.
Yeah, I think when it comes to tech, like, we as people are kind of like, we like to kind of grow into the space that we're comfortable with, and then anything outside that space, we're like, no, society has gone too far past that. Mm-hmm. You know, so like, I've definitely talked to, like, older adults who are like, life was simpler when there was less channels on TV, because that was the space they were comfortable with.
Right. Yep.
But for me, I'm like, I'm comfortable with all those channels on TV, so I can grow into that space. Mm-hmm. But how many apps or all these things that are coming into kids' lives, I'm like, that makes me uncomfortable. I think we're going a little too far. So typically when it comes to this learning, we just want to go to the space that we personally can handle. And then that should be the cutoff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, our kids should handle the exact same thing that I can handle.
Right. And I would bet, I don't have any data to bet or to back this up, but I would bet that space comes sometime between 30 and 40.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. That pretty much by the time most of us are 40, we're pretty well, we are well set, and we want it to just plateau
Stay there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, why would kids want to communicate just through Snapchat? Right. Texting is fine. And yet the generation before me would say, phone calls are fine.
Right.
You know, so like...
And the generation before that would say, letters are fine.
Right.
And a telegram.
Right. For all you Morse code people out there, you know what I just said.
Yeah. And the same thing will one day happen to our kids today, who are looking at their parents thinking like, man, mom and dad don't know anything about tech. I hate to tell those kids something. Your kids will think the same thing one day about you.
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
Those things, that is going to keep going. Like, you will one day be the old person in the room saying, I don't get it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, but it wasn't always like that, I don't think. Maybe it has to some extent, but...
I think not in the space of technology.
That's reasonable.
In other spaces,
and I don't think
we're more consistent.
As quickly. I mean, I think that's time is a factor here.
Absolutely.
Because it is changing so fast.
Yeah.
That, I mean, you want to go back to letters, and letters being that, I mean, that was a very long time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, now it's like everything is happening so quickly that it's not spanning a decade, it's spanning a year.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, like,
how many thousands of years the letter was the means of communication,
right.
And it was, how can we get the letter there faster? And now suddenly, we had letter, and then we had phone call, and then that's in the last 150 years, less than that, early 1900s, right, for the phone. If I'm sorry, history majors out there,
sounds good.
Yeah, we'll call it good. And in that space, we went from phone to in 100 years, we've gone from phone to cell phone to email to global communication instantaneously around the world to communication that can be erased and doesn't need to be permanent. I mean, it's just it's a much faster rate of change for technology.
I think that's a huge difference.
Yeah, I mean, the computer in my pocket right now is more powerful and better than the computer I used for college.
Yep.
I mean, like, that's just the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
And you weren't in college that long ago.
Yeah, and I was in college. I graduated in 2003. Well, and then I went back. Because I didn't really graduate. But 2003 is when I
That's
left college.
Podcast.
Yes.
That's the computer that we're talking about, the 2003 computer.
The 2003 computer, my phone is better than that.
Right. Oh,
yeah.
For sure.
I mean, frankly, I have a 2010 laptop that I use, right? That's my, and my phone is probably
okay,
better
Grandpa.
Than that.
I mean,
exactly.
Yeah. I communicated with my parents when I was away at college through a webcam hooked up to, like, the, like, I mean, I could just FaceTime them.
Sure.
You know, like, totally, what?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, I think,
I think we've reached a natural end.
There we go. So,
like we're all out of things to say.
You can contact us through our webcams.
You can send us a letter at 3801 South Panther Creek.
My CB handle is Wildcat78.
We've got a fax machine. I just discovered this morning that our fax machine still works. You can send us a fax. Are carrier pigeons, are they still in vogue? Can we still use a carrier pigeon?
What's awesome?
Harry Potter.
It's not a pigeon, it's an owl. Katie, you ruin everything.
I think what's awesome about this conversation is I barely even got to my notes of things that we had here for technology. So I think this obviously is a space that we'll be able to come back to in a few weeks, months, I don't know. We'll come back and take a look at technology from another angle on what is important and how we can look at these things in parenting. Because it's so vast and important. You know, mm-hmm. you can't be covered in one.
And we got to keep learning.
40-minute conversation.
Sure. Yeah.
Well, thanks for listening.
End of part one.
Thanks for tuning into the Beyond Sunday podcast, where we will have a new episode for you every Monday morning. Please take the time to rate and review, and please subscribe.
You
said CB handle? Gary Johnson
has a CB.
Oh my gosh! No, climbed up a stinking pine tree to put an antenna on the top of the pine tree. I just about lost it just now. Like I couldn't, like I was like, the grounding rod in the ground next to the pine tree. I'm not kidding.
What was his handle?
Oh my God, I don't even remember, but we all had one. We all had one.
What was your handle?
I don't even remember.
Liar.
Katie something, Katie, I don't remember. Katie, my lady, something.
I think your CB handle should be the name of the street you live on and the last four letters of your maiden name. That should be your CB handle.
We're still recording.
So
are we really? Edit all of that out.